Amen. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. Chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeareth unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. There's enough holiness material on there just to preach holiness for a couple of hours. No, I told folks, I said, I may have to be anointed to preach some things, but I don't even have to be anointed to preach holiness. Amen. Amen. When God saved me, He saved me into holiness. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's just like being an American. I'm an American no matter where I'm at. I'm born that way. That's right. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Oh, glory to God. I want to preach to you just a little while. If we don't stick around and shake hands, you remember that we've got a long journey tonight, and we don't want to slight you. If you feel like it's important that you talk with me, I'll take you home, keep you all night, and you catch a bus back tomorrow. All right? Amen. We'd like to preach to you on Back to Bethel. Back to Bethel. It was the Lord who said to Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there. It was Jacob who said, Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God.
Amen.
Amen. Back to Bethel.
Amen.
You see, everybody's got to have a time in their life, if you're really saved, where you can point to the time and the place.
Yeah.
Where you met God.
Amen.
Everybody that's genuinely saved has a place.
Amen, brother.
Where you can come back and say, There, I met God.
Amen.
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 My place is Tunnel Hill. It's a little place over in Indiana. If you look on the map, you won't find it. But there's a little church called Tunnel Hill. It was there, February the 2nd, on a cold night, that Jesus warmed my heart with salvation.
Amen.
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 I can take you to the place, because the little corner of the altar, that little pulpit then was just a few feet in the corner, and just a few feet in the corner, just a little short. And over here next to the corner, I bowed my head and gave my heart to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I can take you to the place. I can tell you the time when the Lord saved me. Amen. And I believe everybody that really gets saved can tell you when it happened.
Amen.
They might not be able to tell you how it happened.
Amen.
But they can tell you when it happened. Amen. After we got through praying, the saints were shouting. They used to shout when sinners got saved. I mean, they're shouting all over the place. And when everything finally quietened down, I was sitting on the front seat, a young man, just in my early 20s, and sitting there just fixing to, you know, to quit my snubbing from where I'd been crying for such a long time. And the preacher said, Do you want to testify? You got anything you want to say for the Lord? I didn't even know what testimonies was. I just stood up and say, well, I just don't want to go back. And you know, God took that, just that spark of desire when I said, I don't want to go back, and has kept me over 25 years. Amen. You can keep saved. You don't have to backslide. Some folks think you got to backslide to really get saved. You don't have to backslide. I mean, you can get saved right and stay right all the days of your life. You don't even have to get gripey. Amen. And you can get that salvation that makes you sweet. Huh? Can the church say amen? You don't have to end up a church fighter. You can end up and be a church builder. Amen. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
You don't have to sit there half backslid in the pew. You can pray through and get good salvation. It'll be better tonight than it was February the 2nd, 1964. Amen. I thought it all happened to me right there. But in that week's revival that broke out after I got saved, amen, I found out what the good sanctifying power of God was. It was there the Lord knocked me over in the floor. Amen. And showed a young man who thought he was pretty strong and pretty tough that he wasn't neither strong nor tough. Amen. I was in the floor and couldn't get up, and there wasn't nobody holding me down. Amen. I was in the floor and couldn't get up, and there wasn't nobody touching me. I was in the middle of the floor, nobody around, and couldn't move because God decided to show, amen, a young man who was boss. You ever have him show you who's boss? Amen. He can take a man like Marshall, amen, and bounce him around all over the floor. Amen. And one young man got down on the floor one time with this blessing. Amen. And he said, Lord, you've got to quit. You're going to kill me. Amen. Well, nobody's ever died of too much of the blessing. Amen. You may think you're going to erupt. You may think you're going to get beside yourself, but nobody's ever died being blessed too much of God. Everybody ought to have an experience of where it started. Amen. Everybody ought to know what they mean when they say, I got sanctified. It's amazing to me that we use the terminology today, but we really don't mean it. Amen. I thank God for saving me, we say. I thank God for sanctifying me, but we mean that it only comes in part-time shifts. Where in the middle of sanctified life, folks get mad, get aggravated, amen, won't pay their tithes, won't pray, won't get rid of sin, and still get up and say, I'm sanctified. That's a different kind of sanctification than I got. Huh? When I got sanctified, they wouldn't even let you claim it if you had a temper. Huh? Come on now. Don't get quiet on me. They wouldn't even believe you did. You come up with a fighting spirit. Help me preach. Now you're getting quiet too quick now. Come on. It's got a different kind of sanctification today. People can get sanctified and, amen, get a divorce. Amen. Hallelujah. That don't sound like sanctified to me. Amen. You're getting quiet on me. Come on. You know, if we're going to say it, we've got to live it. If we say we're a sanctified people and then don't live like we're sanctified, after a while they're not going to believe what you're saying for what they see you doing. Amen. That's the reason why a lot of folks have problems with our Pentecostal blessing, our baptism in the Holy Ghost, is because folks get the Holy Ghost and they live like the devil. And folks have a hard time believing anything that's holy lives like the devil. Amen. What we need is a good salvation, a good sanctification, and then a good baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not just the tongue-talking experience, but a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If he can't keep you, it's because he's not in you. Huh? I said, if he can't keep you, it's because he's not in you. If he's in there, he will keep you. Amen. He'll keep you sweet. He'll keep you anointed. He'll keep you right. Amen. Amen. Seems like you're getting quiet on me. Jacob had that kind of an experience when he got to Bethel the first time. You see, it was here that Jacob said, when God talked to him, he said, that appeared to thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. That was the first time he met God at Bethel. The first Bethel experience was that of a young man running for his life. He had no direction. He had no positive input. He didn't know anything except he was fleeing to his mother's relation. Amen. He was on the run. He got as far as he could go for one night, rolled him up a stone, and went to bed. Amen. He didn't know God was within miles of him. But as he slept, the Lord gave him a dream. And as Jacob dreamed, he saw a ladder that ascended from earth to heaven and descended from heaven to earth. On it, he seen things it had never seen before. He seen the angels of the Lord going up and coming down that ladder. Amen. At the top, he saw a great and magnificent sight. One that registered in Jacob's heart something that he would never forget. There, he heard the voice of God. Well, let me read to you what it says about Jacob and that experience. When you turn in your Bible, this is what God said to him. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awake out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Do you know, church, a lot of our pilgrimage is spent in Bethel. Bethel means a house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Bethel. This could be called Bethel. And we spend a lot of time here and never realize that God's in this place. We get used to Marshall skipping across the front of the floor, our sister up here going out on a Jericho march, and we get used to Brother Benny praying with the oil and Brother Lloyd singing. We get used to people sitting in certain pews, and we get used to three songs and an altar call, and we get so used to just coming, we just call it church. But when we first got saved, it was more than church. We were going to the house of God. Help me preach, will you? We were going to the house of God. And when we got to the house of God, we were looking for God. It didn't matter who was there. We really didn't count heads and noses and nickels. What we was looking for is a place where we could meet with God. Can you say amen? We found an altar. I prayed probably more in that first week of my experience, not even knowing what I was praying about. I prayed and cried every night. I sought God with all of my heart every night. I didn't hear half of what the preacher was preaching because I didn't know anything about the Bible. He could have preached to me anything. I wouldn't have understood it. Hey, man, I was a babe. Unless he stuck the bottle in my mouth, I probably wouldn't have got anything out. Amen. But, you know, when the altar call was made, I looked past the preacher. I looked past my mother. I looked past my wife-to-be, I looked past everybody, and I went to the altar with one intent, to find the God of the house of God. Amen? And it's when young men and young women, old men and old women, moms and dads begin to see past and look for that we begin to feel the power of God. in his house. Amen. You see, his life from this moment was a contract with God. Jacob said to God, if you'll bring me back. If you'll bring me back, I'll pay you my tithes. And you'll be my God if you bring me back. You see, it's a contract agreement that Jacob's wanting from God. If you do what I'm asking you to do, I'll give you so much and I'll tell folks you're my God. That's the contract. But you notice in there, Jacob didn't say anything about obedience. He didn't say anything about prayer. He didn't say anything about altar building. It was a contract. He said, you just bring me back. I'll give you a tenth, and you'll be my God. You know, a lot of folks in the house of the Lord don't know no more than just paying tithes and asking God to do them good. Huh? And as long as everything's going good, he's my God. Amen. That conditional agreement is man telling God, I can get along without you most of the time. But there's a few times I'm going to need you. And I'm willing to kick in 10% so you'll be there when I need you. Huh? Help me preach now. No, I definitely do agree in tithing. Amen. Most certainly do. I agree with you. If you pay tithes, if you pay 30 or 40 or 50%, I'm glad of it. Amen. But it's not the percentage, amen, that God wants. It's the obedience and the recognition that everything that you've got comes from God. The shirt on your back and the shoes on your feet and the roof on your house, amen, the land on which you live, all the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. You're just a servant, amen, and all you've got is just what God's given you, and it doesn't take God a week to get it back from you, amen. Come on now. You could lose it all. The Bible warns us of that and says, who shall these things be? Well, the Bible said in one night he went to a rich man who had boasted in his barns and boasted in his harvest, and God called him a fool. Amen. He said, you should have took account of your soul because you didn't look to me and you didn't need me and your soul was waxing fat. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall these things be? It's an awful thought to think that I'm buying shoes for some other man to wear. I'm buying suits for somebody else to wear. But if I don't keep my place with God, amen, before 30 days is up after my termination of this life, somebody else will be wearing my shoes. Somebody else will be, amen, come on now. Somebody else, because my wife don't wear apparel that belongs to men, and my boy is a whole lot skinnier than I am, and she'll have to give them to somebody, and I won't care who she gives them to, but I want you to know, my friend, that what you've got right now, tomorrow may be somebody else's. And you had better begin to think more of God than a contract agreement. That just hang around, God, I may need you after a while. I want you to know you need him right now. You need him more now than you've ever needed him before in your life. Amen. We're not waiting for the end time to come. We're in the middle of the end time. If not all the way to the end of it. When Khomeini died, do you know they say and estimated that there was over 1 million people that was there at his burial. Amen. 1 million people. They said at one time there was a roll of people 20 miles deep. Worshiping a man. Amen. Beating on their head and their chest and saying, oh, Khomeini, why did you leave us? Mourning over a man. If there was anybody with any spiritual sense at all, they would have looked at that and said, my, that place is ripe for the beast. That place is ripe for people to worship a man and call him God. If Khomeini had come up out of that casket, they'd have followed him to the ends of the earth. every Arab, every Muslim would have picked up their sword and gun and have done what he said. One of these days, the beast is going to arise. One of these days, the world is going to come into a turmoil. And my friend, we're nearer now than when we first believed. Those old preachers preached to me about tribulation and told me it was coming. And one old preacher said, when I was a young preacher, Brother Benny, he said, I preached perilous times will come. He looked at me as a young preacher and said, you're going to preach in them. Amen. Where people will be afraid. We got more locks on our doors now than we've ever had in our life. We've got loaded guns leaning up against the wall. We move and get afraid of any sound in the night. We don't know what's going to happen and where it's going to come from. Amen. And it keeps us always at a fevered pitch. But I want you to know, my friend, if you'll get out of that contract agreement and get the God of heaven real in your soul, He'll take charge of you. He'll take charge of what you got. He'll see you through. Hallelujah. We're wading into the end time. And a lot of us are like Jacob. We went away from Bethel. We went and got us some wives, got us some children, got us some cattle, got us some sheep. And now we decided it's time to get out of that and try to get back home. Amen. It's there at his encounter with Esau that Jacob decides it's time for a little prayer meeting. You don't read of any long extended prayer meetings with Jacob until Esau threatens his life. Help me preach. It may be a little tight, but it's right. Some of you don't really pray through till you get in trouble up to here. You're about to sink out of sight, and all of a sudden, somebody call a prayer meeting. Amen. Listen, my friend, if you'd have kept your prayer life up, you wouldn't be worried when things get thick or things get thin. Amen. But Jacob didn't know what to do with Esau, so he divided his family up so all of them wouldn't die. Amen. He said, if he comes to this one, then this one can escape. And if he comes to this side, that side can escape. And Jacob himself went across the creek. Amen. And there a man wrestled with him to the breaking of dawn. Hallelujah. I would to God the Lord would have turned this revival into an old-fashioned wrestling match. He did challenge some of you, but none of you wanted to take a hold. Amen. Come on now. Let God come down through here and shuck a lot of your trees. But instead of turning loose of the tree, you hung on. You should have dropped out of the tree like Zacchaeus and come on down so the Lord could have went home with you. Amen. You got yourself up a tree, out on a limb, and now to save face, you ain't going to come down out of the tree. You need to come down out of the tree. Face the embarrassment of being wrong. Face the embarrassment of having a bad spirit. Face the embarrassment of not being what you should be. And say to God, get me out of this mess. I want to get back to Bethel. Amen. Jacob didn't want to tell this angel he was in a terrible plight. In fact, you don't find him mentioning it to the angel here at this wrestling match. He grabs a hold of him. Amen. And they wrestle. And the morning begins to come, and the angel said, turn me loose. Let me go. The day breaketh. Jacob said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. He didn't say anything about change me. He said, bless me. I'll not let you go till you bless me. He should have cried out, oh God, I'm tired of being Jacob. I need to be changed. I'm tired of hooking and crooking and covering my tracks. I'm tired of dodging Esau. I'm tired of doing things my way. Will you be God in my life? Will you come down and take control? Will you be God over everything I've got? Will you be the God of my families? Will you be the God of my sons? Will you direct my path and bring me where you want me to be? But you know what? Jacob didn't say that. He said, I won't let you go till you bless me. All right. The Bible said the angel done just as he said. He blessed him. Didn't he do it? That's right, he did. He said, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hath prevailed." Amen. No more, he said, "no more shall thy name be called Jacob." Right? God lets him meet Esau. Esau meets him as a man who had an angel face. No sword, no bitterness. He fell on his neck. He embraced. Esau was ready to call it quits. God had intervened for Jacob. Do you know what Jacob does? Esau said, "Come, my brother, let's go home together." And he said, "No, Esau." He said, I've got cattle here with calves and the children. He said, "I'm afraid to drive them too hard. You just go on. We'll be there after a while." He watched Esau go out of sight. And he doesn't go home. He heads for Shechem. A different way than where Esau went. Because he didn't trust Esau. Because Jacob may have got there a blessing, but he didn't get changed. Hello? Now you're getting caught on me. You see, this is what the Bible says. That it said, "I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, because I have enough." And he urged him and he took it. And he said, "Let us take our journey. Let us go, and I will go before thee." And he said, "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die." You know that's not true. It sounds good. Amen. "Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord, unto Mount Seir." Until I come unto my Lord. He coming. You hear me preach? Yeah, Jacob got the blessing, but he didn't get changed. He's going to go a different way. Esau gave him leave. And this is what it said. So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Sukkot and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Sukkot. And Jacob came to Shalem, the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. Pitched his tent before the city. He bought a parcel of the field and spread his tent. Amen. At the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money, he erected there an altar and called it God, the God of Israel. Now, does it sound like he's going to go to Mount Seir to be with Esau? Does it sound like he's changed? There's only one person that's really important to Jacob. That's Jacob. Amen. Now, y'all going to get quiet on me. Let me preach to you a little bit before you get real quiet. You know, you'd get a lot along better in this church if you wasn't so in love with yourself. Some of you resist change simply because you didn't think of it and won't get the credit for it. Amen. And you love yourself so much that if you ain't in the middle of it, it ain't going to be done. Hello. We wonder why we don't get along, why we love ourselves so much. Amen. Come on now. We got that old love for self that we take care of ourselves before anybody else gets took care of. Amen. Listen, the Bible says, and you read it for yourself. Jesus said, "Except you take up your cross and deny who?" Preach with me, church. Who? Yourself. Well, who is it that likes those things that you're holding on to when the preacher tells you you shouldn't have them?
Who is it that likes them things so well? Who is it that's putting up the argument? Is it your wife that threatens you with divorce because you won't give it up? Huh? Is it your husband that's threatening to beat you if you won't to give it up? I know there ain't nobody putting up half the fuss that you're putting up. And the only reason why you're putting it up is because you love yourself. And you want old self to feel good. Amen. If you'd crucify self, there wouldn't be a television left in Flatwood. Hello? You getting quiet on me? Preach with me, will you? What need has a crucified man with a television? What need has a crucified man with gold or silver? What need has a crucified man or woman with expensive apparel? What need has a man or woman with pleasure vehicles and all those other pleasure-seeking things? If you get crucified and die to self, you'll want the kingdom of God to be honored. You'll want the kingdom of God to be glorified. You'll want the kingdom of God to be advanced. You'll take your place in the rank of the crucified. And you'll say to the Lord, have your way in my life. Have your way in my money. Have your way in everything I've got. It's not mine anyway, Lord. It belongs to you. I belong to you. It belongs to you. Everything I've got belongs to you. But the reason we go, not to where God wants us to go, but to where we can settle down, is because we like, number one too much.
Amen. What is it that makes sisters want to take the scissors to their hair? Flip and frill. It's not the preacher or the deacon board, surely not. It must be somebody. Then who is it that's responsible? Huh? You can't tell me the devil made you do it. The devil may want you to do it. He can't make you do it. Hello? I'll tell you who done it. You did it. That's right. You done it. And you done it because you wanted to do it. And the reason you wanted to do it, because you never died to self. Never died to self. You don't want to come down low at the foot of the cross. You don't want to come down low underneath the cross. You don't want to come down under God. You don't want to be subjected to the Word of God. You just want to do it your way. You want to feel good about it. There's some things, my friend, that the gospel says that you won't feel good about it. You won't feel good about dying. We used to have a mourner's bench, but we've long moved it out and replaced it with a pretty altar. But we still need a mourner's bench where men come and die. And you hear them moan and groan as a death sentence passed upon them. Die to the world, till the world's crucified to you. And you're crucified to the world. Die till you're dead. Until the Lord can raise you up in a spiritual resurrection. Somebody shout amen. You get to where you're dead enough, you won't even argue with your wife. God help us to die. You get dead enough, you won't even argue with your husband. You'll say, you're the head. Here I've been wearing these make-believe breeches for a long time. Would you please take these breeches back? Hey, man, I want to be under subjection to you. Huh? Come on now. Some of you wouldn't strap on a pair of men's breeches for nothing. But mentally, you've been wearing the breeches for years. You've been calling the shots and telling them when to get up and when to go to bed and when to shut up and when to speak up. Come on! Some of you has even got behind the deacons, amen, and whispered in the deacon's ear. Sometimes it's not the deacon who rules, it's the deacon's wife who rules. Hello anyway.
you need to do, my friend, is get you a cross and strip those breeches off and hand them back to the man of the house. That's right. Bless God, it's right if you don't say amen. It's still right. If you've got them on mentally, you need to take them off, my friend, and find yourself under your husband. That's where the Bible said for you to love your husband and to honor your husband, for he has the rule over you.
Somebody shout now. The reason we've got such turmoil in our homes and in our churches is because we don't want to die. We're like Jacob. We'll say we'll go one way, but we'll end up over here. We get around in these camp meetings and say, Lord, you know I'm going to move up. I'm going to quit this story and I'm going to quit this lying to you. I really am going to change. But tomorrow finds you parked over here buying a house and building booths. Amen. Then you move a little closer to the town and you pitch a tent on a piece of ground that you bought. And all the time you know you shouldn't be there. And then comes the terrible thing that happens to most people's homes when they don't live a crucified life. Amen. He was around there and the young men of the city saw his young daughter die at. Amen. Am I right? Read it with me. They saw her, and this young man took her and laid with her and shamed her. Amen. He wanted to marry her, but her brother said no. Amen. Then they entered into an unsanctified agreement. They said, we'll let her marry you. They wasn't going to do that. They said, every one of you get circumcised, and we'll let her marry you, and you can marry in. And we'll just become one. They're lying. They ain't going to do it. They're fixing to slaughter. Amen. They're fixing to shed blood. Jacob would have never been there if and when he had went back to Bethel. Because his first agreement was with God. If you bring me back here, you will be my God. He's not even thinking about Bethel. He's not thinking about God. He's making moves that he thinks are best for Jacob. But now his daughter is shamed. His sons commit murder. And Jacob becomes afraid. Amen. And at that hour, God intervenes and tells Jacob, arise and get thee back to Bethel.
I haven't done no more this week. I've challenged you to get up from where you're at and come back to Bethel. Whew. I preach to you with every bit of my strength every night. I've challenged you. You're a good church. I've got no stones to throw. But my God, you can sit and you can rest on yesterday until you drift away from Bethel, until you're far from what you used to be. I want you to know, my friend, if there ever was a time when we need to get out of Shechem and Sukkoth with the smell upon us of shame, we need to come clean with God and say, God, I'm going back to Bethel. I'm going back where the anointing is. I'm going back where the presence is. I'm going back to where God is. I'm going back to my first love. I'm going back to my first joy. I'm going back to my first peace. I'm going to get up and go back to the house of God. I'm going back to Bethel, Lord. Oh! Whew. Whew. I feel him all over me. I said, I feel him all over me. Hallelujah. That's why I preach like I preach. That's why I stand like I stand. I need God. I don't need him far away from me. I need God. I need God breathing on me, leading me, guiding me. I need God. Jacob looked at his men, looked at his sons, and said, give up your strange gods. Next thing, get rid of those earrings. I'm just preaching the Bible. Amen. Change your clothes. We're going to Bethel. And Jacob said, the last time I was at Bethel, God was there. God was there. And we're going back to Bethel. came with those strange gods in their hand. And he dug a hole there under the oak. Amen. And began to bury strange gods. Amen. They pulled their earrings off. He buried earrings under the oak tree. They took off their strange clothes. And they buried him under an oak there. Amen. Come on. One preacher was preaching one time. And he said he'd take a backhoe, digging a pretty good sized ditch for the average Pentecostal church anymore, to do what Jacob's family done. Time you put some of those televisions in there and get all those records out of your house and get all those cassettes out of your house and get those VCRs shook loose. Amen. Come on now. Our great God of heaven, some folks say, we don't go to the movies, but they'll go downtown and rent one of those ungodly things, bring it right back in their house and watch ungodly movies and say, oh, preach it, preacher. I don't go to the movies. Son, I want to tell you something. I didn't just get off the train yesterday. I've been around holiness for a while, and I want you to know there ain't a hair's difference between you shucking out the money at a movie station door, amen, and you going down there to one of those VCR rentals and buying a movie and bringing it home. Great God of heaven, I'd like to see God dig a hole tonight around this altar. Some of you come clean. I'd like to see some of you young men get rid of some of your books that you got stashed away. Ungodly books, amen. Help me preach. I'd like to see some of you bring some of those tapes that you listen around, sneak around and listen to. Hey, you wouldn't have anyone here that played gospel rock and roll, but there's some of those things that you listen to are just as bad as if you had that rock group right on your platform. Help me preach. Come on now, don't back off from me. You know it's right. We need some record breaking, some tape burning. Amen. We need some clean house. If we want God to bring revival to Flatwood, the thing we need is to come clean with God. You can't expect God to bring you revival when you wear a dirty garment of jealousy. You can't expect God to come to you when you've got a dirty heart of lust. You can't expect God to come to you when you can't keep your eyes off of somebody else's wife or off of somebody else's husband. You're going to have to change your garments and come clean. We need to come clean with God till we're sanctified from head to toe. We need to come clean with God till our heart's right. We need to come clean with great God, the number of Hosea. Well, we need to come clean with God until our heart is sanctified. And in our heart we sanctify God. Jacob said, give them up. Give them up. They come one by one bringing their strange gods. One by one. As they come, they unloosen their earrings. Tuck them off. Y'all thought I was mean. Let me tell you how I preach at the driving road. I have Brother Junior here. His mom and his wife, they can tell you. I say, it's jewelry. Amen. And there ain't a hair's difference between one in your ear than one on your finger. Amen. They're both rings. They just fit in the different anatomy of your body. There ain't a hair's difference between the one in your ear and the one on your finger and the one that you strap around your wrist or the one that you slip on your ankle. And it doesn't matter to me what part of your anatomy you wear it on. It's jewelry. Help me preach. And if your wife's got one in your nose, you need to take it out too. Most of the time we can't have revival because we don't even have our wife's permission to go to church. We can't pray because she won't let us. She's got to go shopping. Amen. She's got to go get the groceries. She's got to go here and there. And you know she outrules God. You don't have to live with God. You have to live with her, you say. Well, let me tell you, my friend, you need to get to where you rule the roost. And you say it's time to pray. It's time to go to church. It's come on now. It ought to be a time when the man stands up and said, it's time we have a fast in this house. It's time we pray a while in this home. Amen.
Great God of heaven, somebody help me preach. That's right. Jacob said, give it up. Give it up, he said. Give it up. How long have you heard it? How long have you heard your preacher say, give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Amen. Give it up. And yet you're standing there holding on to it. Huh? Give it up. Give it up. It don't condemn me. When's the last time you read your Bible? At least twice in the New Testament, it forbids the wearing of gold. My heart hasn't got anything to do with that. That is forbidden of the Scripture. Whether my heart agrees with it or not, the Scripture's right. For God said, let him be true and every man a liar. So I can say to my heart, heart, you're lying to me, because that's God's word. Hello? You're not getting hurt at me, are you? I hope not. Give it up. Turn it loose. Bring it and bury it. God wills we'll never be back to this place. If God's will never come back to this oak. If God's will, it's buried out of sight forever. That's what old time sanctification used to be. Shucking it off and burying it so deep that you couldn't find it. Huh? If you bury it deep enough, you won't be digging it back up. Some of you has got a path wore back to the oak tree. The ground still fresh from being turned over yesterday. Burying something and digging it back up today. Well, while I'm preaching on that, let me tell you something else. You know how I am, don't you? Well, let me preach to you. Let me tell you about something. If you forgive somebody, do you ever have to forgive somebody? Anybody in this church ever have to forgive somebody besides me? Huh? You ever had to forgive somebody? Did you go back and remember that you had to forgive them after you had forgiven them? How many times had you had to forgive them over again after you forgive them once? The biblical description of forgiveness is to absolve from all guilt. To make them as though they had never done it. Don't you tell me you forgive me. Amen. And then get mad at me tomorrow when you think of it again. Huh? Don't you tell me you forgive me and say, well, I forgive you, but I can't trust you. My friend, if you forgive me, you can trust me. Hello? We got too many people buried the axe and left the handle sticking up and they trip over it. Huh? Got the axe buried. That's bury the axe. And you leave the handle sticking up and blind as a bat, you trip over it. At least once a month or twice a month, you trip over it. And every time you see that sister get in and shout, you sit there like this. I don't have no confidence in her. I ain't believe that ain't God. Heaven help us. If that's all she's got to shout about. You've neither forgiven nor have you absolved from guilt. You ought to be able to say, God bless her, and mean it from your heart. Or God bless him, and mean it from your heart. Give it up. Give up your quarrels. Give up your quarrels. Amen. Now you did get quiet on me. Give up your quarrels. If any man have a quarrel against any, let him forgive for this one cause. Because Christ has forgiven you your great debt of sin. You are to be able to forgive others their oughts against you. So we leave the oak tree and you can see them coming. They're coming back to Bethel.
as soon as they get up from their place there and head towards Bethel, the Bible said, and the fear of God came on that place. Jacob said, they'll come out and they'll kill us. But the terror of the Lord came upon all the inhabitants of that land, and no man said anything to them. They were going back to Bethel. You may think that you can't get there because you've got opposition. But my friend, when you really believe in your heart that there's only one thing for you to do, and that's get back to Bethel, the terror of the Lord will come upon your enemies. They'll not say nothing to you. They'll not bother you. They'll not keep you from getting to Bethel. What you need to remember is there, God was with Jacob. In Genesis 28:15, he said, I am with thee, and I will not leave thee till I have accomplished, amen, that which he said. Amen. I want you to know, my friend, when you tell God and mean it, God will take care of the opposition. God will take care of the problems. God will make a way where there seems to be no way if you'll tell God you want to come back to Bethel. Somebody shout amen for me. Jacob comes to Bethel. The first thing he notices, and the only place he's familiar with at Bethel, was a heap of rocks that he piled up. Years had passed since Jacob had been back to Bethel. Probably well over 20 years and maybe more had passed since he had been back to Bethel. He'd got involved, and his involvement had kept him from Bethel. But now here he is. He's coming. And he sees his heaps of rocks. He gathers his sons around and said, we're here. This is Bethel. See these rocks? I piled them up as a young man, and I poured oil on them and made a covenant with God that if God would bring me back here, He would be my God. Amen. Help me preach now. I'm not going to keep you long. It ought to stir our memory when we think of our first associations with God. It ought to make us want to have that first love back. Can you say amen? You remember how it was when you had your first love? You couldn't identify a hypocrite if you shook hands with them. I didn't even know there was one. And I'm sorry the first time I found out there was such a thing. And I wish I never found out there was such a thing. Amen. Your first love, you don't doubt God. Somebody said God's a healer, you shout amen. That's right. You said God can make a way, you shout amen. When I got saved, I was driving about 60 or 70 miles just to church. I had a little old car, and it didn't get a whole lot of good gas mileage. And I went out that night after work, didn't have no money, broke, and had just a shade over empty. You know what I done? I was a new Christian. I didn't think there's anything too hard for God. I laid hands on that thing and said, Lord, I'm going to church. Farted up, amen, help me preach. Amen, farted up, went to church. After church, drove home from there, and that was about 16 miles home from church. Hey, man, you know what I forgot to do, Brother Benny? I forgot in the morning to ask God to help me have enough gas to get to a gas station. And on the way to the gas station, I run out of gas. He done just exactly what I asked him to do. Just exactly. And he had done the rest of it. Amen. Come on now. You know that's right. I've heard the old timers say they had blowouts on the way to pray for somebody. Reach out with just pumping air in it, air coming out of it, just like it was going in. Just nothing but a move, and slap their hand on the side of it, saying, the name of Jesus, I've got to go. The Lord has sent me. And a big old blowout seal itself up, and they'd get in the car and drive. Amen. That's right, one old sister over home run out of kerosene to cook, and she had company to come in, and she said, I watched the flame die out myself. She said, I just said, I'm out, that's it, no cooking. And company come in, and you know how old grandmas are. They had to fix them something to eat. She went in there, laid hands on that empty tank, and said, in the name of Jesus, I need some oil to cook for my company. She said, I struck a match and stuck it there. Lo and behold, it lit up, she said. She said, I cooked the supper and watched it die back out. I want you to know, my friend, when you got your first love, all things are possible. When you got your first love, there ain't no mountain too high, no valley too deep, no distance too great. No, nothing is too hard for God. Amen. That's when we're at Bethel. We're facing life and we know God's with us. We're facing difficulties, but we know God will make a way. Amen. In our first love, we've conquered difficulties. Pray revivals down. Sing the joy of the Lord is our strength. Go and fast and weep and cry and ask God if there's anything else you want me to do. Just tell me.
He told his boys about Bethel. Amen. Then you get over there in 35:1 where I've read to you. And it said, and God said unto Jacob, when I read to you about his encounter and his wrestling, he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob. But listen to what God calls him. 35:1. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel. The blessing that he had in the wrestling match had disappeared at Sukkoth. Now he's back to Jacob. Help me preach now. Some folks believe once sanctified, always sanctified. You can lose sanctification just like you lose good old salvation. You can lose the baptism of the Holy Ghost just like you lose your salvation. I want you to know something. You get to where you live like the devil, you are a devil. There ain't no such thing as a sanctified devil neither. Hello? You better believe it. You lose that sanctification. You get carnal and love the things of the world. You're carnal. Don't you say you're spiritual and love the things of the world. Don't you lie on God. God's word's right. And he said, if you love the world and the things of the world, said you're an enemy of God. Huh? Didn't it say it? Exactly right. Don't lie on the Holy Ghost. Don't lie on God. Just say, Lord, I've drifted from Bethel. I've drifted from where I was. I've drifted from my experience. I've not got it like I used to have it. And Lord, it's not your fault. It's my fault. I got it from Bethel and I went away from Bethel. You want me to come back. Amen. Hallelujah. If it's revival, it's been nothing else. It's God reminding you. He wants you back. He wants you back in your entirety. He wants your mind, your soul, your spirit, your strength. God wants you back. He wants you back where He can touch you. He wants you back where He can bless you. He wants you back where He can anoint you. He wants you back where He can use you. God wants you back. Come on back, Jacob. Yes. And there it said, and make an altar unto God that appeareth unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. All the way back. All the way back. Some folks say, well, Brother Benny, what are you supposed to do when you backslide? You're supposed to repent and do your first works over. Wouldn't it be nice to have a baptistry tonight right up here so we could catch all these guys that's repented and get them to do it right? Huh? He said, not me, Brother Benny. You'd never get me to. I'd be so embarrassed. Folks would think I've backslid. What if you lost your first love or left your first love? What are you? Do you want to tell me the right termination? Maybe I'm misunderstanding the Bible. But it calls for repentance and doing your first works over. What is that when the Spirit says, repent and do your first works over? Well, a lot of folks are backslidden their heart. They just got a good exterior experience. With their lips, they honor me, Jesus says. But their hearts are far from me. Jacob honored God in Shechem when he said, here's an altar to the God of Israel. All show, Jacob. All show. You're just building an altar. You're not going to pray. And he doesn't pray. And he gets back to Bethel and there God says, build you an altar. Didn't it say it? Amen. Build thee an altar.
Then Jacob said unto his household and to all them that were with him, put away the strange gods from among you. Be clean, change your garments, let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way in which I went. Amen. Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar, and he called the place El Bethel. Now here he changes. God tells him to come back to Bethel and build an altar. When he comes back to Bethel, he builds his altar and calls it El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Now there's where the difference comes. A lot of you know about Bethel, the house of God. But do you know there's a God in the house of God? Hallelujah. And it's to this God of the house of God that we must return. If we don't return to God of the house of God, we will not be able to continue. It's there in verse 13 that God speaks to him. Listen to what it said. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Here, God goes up. He had been down right with Jacob like he was with Abraham. He had talked with him, gave him the promise, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Back at Bethel, the name means something. From this time, Jacob shall be a different man. He's going to know bitterness. He's going to know heartache and sorrow. But at the end of Jacob's life, he'll lean on his staffs. And he'll bless men. He'll call his children around him and tell them what their future holds for them. He'll bless Pharaoh. Amen. He'll bless nations and kings. He'll draw his feet up in his bed and go to sleep and go to be with his fathers. Because right here, he meets El Bethel. He meets God. That is the house of God. My friend, there's a world of difference. There's a lot of churches. But it takes a church that's really on fire for God to be El Bethel. Amen. It takes a different kind of church to become El Bethel. Anybody can be Bethel, the house of God. But it takes a mighty different kind of people who are anointed and blessed of God to make a house of God El Bethel. The God of the house of God is here. Amen. Back to Bethel. Back to talking with God. You know, hey man, it was different for me and you when we really, really get back to what we used to be. What would it be like in your life if you got back to what you used to be? Huh? What would it be like if you got back to what it used to be? Now, I'm not trying to be mean or hard. I'm just asking a question. Well, what would it be if you really got back to what you used to be? What if you really prayed like you used to pray? Now, don't fall out with me now. Just answer the question yourself in your own heart. What would it be like if you really prayed like you used to pray? What if you fasted like you used to fast? Huh? What if you'd kept your faith in God? Would there have still been anything impossible? Would everything become a challenge? Amen. Come on now. Help me preach. You know, the saddest thing that a person can be is to look over their life and ask them the question, it could have been, or it might have been, if I had it. Huh? The saddest words that's ever been in the heart or mind of man is, it could have been. I could have been used of God. I could have been a help to the church. I could have been spiritual. I could have done this. I could have done that. But then we wait. And days slip by, and like Jacob, 20 years slip out of our life, and nothing to show for it but cattle and sheep. Oh, I know what you're going to say. Well, somebody's got to pay the bills, Brother Benny. Yeah, God was paying the bills before you got here. Hello. And after you're gone, God will still be paying the bills. So don't tell me that you got to do all that just so you can help the church. You ain't helping the church near as much as you're helping old number one, and you know it. Hey, man, if you're going to help the church so much, why don't you put the church in your will? Why don't you just leave everything to the church instead of your children? We're not as serious as we thought, was we? Huh? Not as serious as we thought. Why don't we put the church down as our insurance I can't even say it, huh? And just leave it all to the church. Why don't we just put them down on the line? It's really because we're not that interested in the church. And we're really just trying to make ourselves feel good when we say, I give good. I give more than my tithe. We're just saying to ourselves, I really ain't doing anything else. That's the least I can do is kick in. But what if everybody would kick in spiritually? What if everybody would go to praying 2 hours a day? What if everybody would go to praying through at least once a week? What if everybody would take it upon their heart to fast one day a week for your pastor? And say, God, anoint my pastor. What if everybody would spend 15 minutes a day in prayer for nobody but their pastor? And just saying that 15 minutes, God, anoint my pastor afresh with heaven's breath. Set him on fire. Huh? Come on now. And then what if every day you would take a half hour and pray for your church that it would break out in revival? Well, you know what would happen as well as I do. You may not buy more ground and you may not build a bigger building at first. But there'd be such a marked difference in your life. You would be such a changed person. That folks would wonder what has happened to you. Amen. And the way it's going right now, and I'm closing. You can get us a song. The way it's happening right now is this. They're asking the question, I wonder what he really could have done if he'd have gave himself to God. Amen. I've got nothing against working. You just don't misunderstand or misinterpret this statement. When I was a young pastor, the first church I had was as worldly as you can get. And it was in that first church that I started preaching holiness. Amen. It was all right for them if the pastor had television. It was all right for them if the pastor done anything he wanted to do. And it's in that I started preaching holiness. No, it wasn't easy. And they didn't like me. That's right. They gave us a salary. $50 a week and paid one time a month. That doesn't take much mathematics to figure that out. That's $200 a month. Buying a house, buying a car, paying insurance. You know what that left to live on? Well, you guessed it. And you know what they said? We'll teach you. That's why God sent you here, was for us to teach you. We're going to teach you. Well, they didn't do too good a job. I was in the midst of them trying to starve me out. God bring groceries and set it on the steps. God bring money in when there wasn't no money. Amen. And when the Lord got ready, He moved me from that church to another church. And we stuck up right where we left off, preaching holiness. Brother Bill Addis. You all know Brother Bill Addis? Great preacher. Great preacher. Brother Bill Addis and several other preachers said, Brother Benny, that's a dead church. You're not going to resurrect that one. God help you. That church is dead. The reason they said it was dead is because there's only two or three young people in it. That was all there was. The rest of them, all the young married folks was gone. It was just mom and dads that was left. We started in there preaching to them. Let's come back to God. Preached holiness. Woo! Preached hell hot. Oh, great God. And they said, you sure are living up to your name. Amen. But you know what happened? When we left there, when we left to take the church at Dryden Road, they wasn't saying, hurrah, he's gone. Everyone cried. It was like a funeral the night I got up and announced my resignation that I was leaving. They wept and they cried and said, you can't do this to us. You can't leave us. They don't hate you for preaching holiness. They'll love you for preaching holiness. And it went from those few old people to when we had left, we had two Sundays in a row that we had over 150 in Sunday school, averaging over 130-some in Sunday school, without a van, without a bus, nothing but just preaching old-time holiness. When we went, we had the smallest church in the area. When we left, we had the largest congregation in the area. Amen. We were setting the standards for holiness. Don't tell me God won't help you when you make up your mind to go back to Bethel. Come on now. The odds may look like they're stacked against you. Don't you listen to the devil. You can change Bethel to El Bethel. You can change a house of God into the place where God is. Amen. We've had Holy Ghost meetings till men have got down and crawled. Were you all marched? I've seen men crawl on the floor with the power of God on them. Amen. That's right. Get right down low before God. People being healed. People being sanctified. People getting saved. It's all part of it. You don't have to tell God what to do. You let Him be the God of the house of God. He'll bring revival. I followed Brother Pittman at Dryden Road. I followed Brother Pittman. There was 41 people voted on me when I took the Dryden Road church. You have to be 18 years and older before you can vote. 18 voting, or 41 voting members was all they had. I mean, I had a big church, but mostly the Woods family. Amen. You can ask Brother Jackson. He'll tell you. He was there. 41 people. I've been there 12 years, and I'm not boasting in me. I'm just telling you that if you'll let God be the house and also be the God of the house, amen, He'll take it and turn it around. This year, when we was correcting our voting roster, and if you don't pay tithes and you don't attend regular, we take you off. Amen. We shucked 14 people off this year, and probably 16 last year, and every year we're taking people off. Amen. We don't want your number. We don't want your nose. If you don't give us your heart, you ain't doing us no good. Amen. And after we had shucked those off of there, those 14 or so off of there, still the tally was up around 170 voting members. With old-time holiness preaching. No, that's not boasting, boys. That's not boasting. Anybody can do it. All you have to do is get you a Bible and stand up for God. Preach it in the right spirit and keep your heart right with God, and God will take over from there. The Bible says in the book of Acts, right, Brother Spence? He said He will add unto the church daily. Didn't He say He'd do it? That's His job. That's not my job. My job's to preach. His job's to add. The Lord saves. The Lord sanctifies. The Lord fills. The Lord heals. The Lord keeps. The Lord provides. I've got but one job, and that job is to preach whatsoever the Lord tells me to preach. And if I want Him to be El Bethel, if I want Him to be God when people come to that church, I've got to preach and do His will. He said, it's not he that saith, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You can shout, hey, amen, you can shout glory, you can do all these things that you want to do. But that don't make God the house, amen, or God the God of the house. And it never will till you bow, till you confess, till you repent, till you say, God be God. Amen. And then when you get to where you're ready to let God be God, He'll meet you at Bethel, and He'll change your Bethel to El Bethel. And there God will start talking with you again. Face to face, God will meet with you. We used to have old time altars. They're a rarity anymore to find anybody anymore that's got an altar. Amen. We used to have altars over home when I was a young boy. I've run. You might have heard me tell it. I tell it every once in a while. I run through prayer meeting. We had a bunch of mean people where I lived, but we had a bunch of saved people too. The mean people I didn't worry about. The saved people that bothered me. Amen. I used to run through the prayer meetings. I could take you right now back up on the hill, and I could mark the places where people prayed. The young boys, we'd play till dark, and then we'd have to come home. And I could remember in the summer going through prayer meeting after prayer meeting. Hear those old men up there praying, speaking in tongues to the hair. Stand up on the back of your neck. Oh, you wouldn't whistle. You wouldn't talk. You would get through there as quick as you could. I've heard some of those old mamas praying and crying until you just feel like you just needed to pray. You just feel like a dirty or something. That just, you know, they just made you feel like you was a sinner you really knew you was. And they wouldn't do nothing but praying. Amen. Those old mamas would pray and fast until they'd take the saplings down in the fields. They'd water out a place. Amen. They'd feed their family and push their own plate back and fast for days and cook three meals a day and keep right on praying and fasting. Come on now. They pray for revival. They'd pray weeks for revival. Over home, they're sort of funny. They wouldn't call a revival. They'd pray for revival. They'd start praying, not even have a preacher to hold it. They'd call and say, we're praying for revival. Night after night, they'd gather in to do nothing but pray. They'd pray and they'd pray until finally one night the revival would break out. And then revival might last anywhere from 6 to 14 weeks because they prayed it down and God kept the revival going. They didn't have no way of knowing. They didn't have pianos like we've got, drums and guitars and talented people. They didn't know how to have revival but pray it down. They got God to come down in the house. And then God brought El Bethel. Hallelujah. Sinners stand and look out the window and cry, and just weep and cry and tremble. Amen. God would stop them. One fellow up home, he was sitting on a bar stool. He was a terrible drunk. Sitting on a bar stool. One night he just spun around. Amen. And got up and walked out to his car. Got in his car. Got in it and drove up to the hill and scrammed into the church parking lot. Throwed open the door. Staggered in there to an altar. Didn't ask the preacher if he could. Just staggered up to the altar and fell down. Prayed through. They asked him, said, why did you come to church tonight? He said, I was sitting over there on that bar stool and something told me you better go pray. Amen. He said, I knew it was God. He said, I come to pray. I want to tell you something. When God becomes the God of the house, miracles are there. Power is there. Liberty's there. Glory is there. But it'll cost you to get back to El Bethel. You won't come with your earrings dangling. You won't come in that gaudy apparel. You'll come dressed in humility.
you'll come asking and beseeching God, do something, Lord. If you don't do it, it won't be done. We don't want a blessing, Lord. We want revival. We don't want just a thrill. We want revival. Somebody shout amen. Whew.
Oh,
when I come to this meeting, I come with excitement in my heart. If you'd asked me the first night I drove in here if I was going to preach like I preached, I'd have told you, no, I come for revival. Amen. But since I've been here, I don't know how many different ways the Lord has turned me. Amen. I don't know where all this preaching come from on all that I preached. But let me tell you something. It wasn't premeditated and planned. Amen. I preached what the mind of God was every night. I said, every night the Spirit of the Lord has been upon me. Every night the Holy Ghost has anointed me. Every night God has met with me. And I want you to know, my friend, I come with one message for you. You can have revival, but it's going to take paying a price. You're going to have to come on down. You're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to clothe yourself in humility. You're going to have to come down and say, God, be God here. Be God around these altars. Be God in these pews. Be God in my heart. Be God in my home. Be God, Lord. Come on back down. Come on back down. Come on back down. If it means getting down on hands and knees and crawling before God. Oh, God, I'll crawl. When I have to crawl, but accept me, Lord. I'll get back down, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Be God in my life. Be God in my life, Lord. Be God in this house. Oh, great God of heaven, I feel His presence. Don't you feel His power in here tonight? I said, don't you feel His power in here tonight?
Holy Ghost wanted to talk to us. The Holy Ghost wanted to talk to us. Hallelujah. I said the Holy Ghost is wanting to talk to us. Great God of heaven, He's got a message for Flatwood. Hallelujah. I said the Holy Ghost is wanting to talk to us. Oh, great God of heaven, speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Great God of heaven, speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Anoint our ears to hear. Anoint our eyes.